Om Shanti. Good evening to everyone and a very warm welcome to Sister Maureen and to all of you, many new faces in the last few days. So very warm welcome to everyone. So Sister Maureen has an interesting history. She's been with the Brahma Kumaris for over 40 years. And was one of the first Westerners one of the first group of Westerners to come into Gyan in London. She came across the BKs in the mid-1970s and has been based in London with Daddy Janki and Jayanti Ben since then, and is currently the program director of the BKs in the UK. She's also involved in many community settings, for example, prisons, healthcare, education, youth, women's issues, interfaith dialogues, and dialogue for change at an executive level. She came into Gyan with her young husband, and they both instantly recognized that this was the path that they should take and the practice they should engage in, and had the courage to pursue it, and we have all the benefits of that courage and wisdom that she has acquired over these years. Thank you, Sister Maureen.
I suppose I just better put one fact straight. Came across the BKs in Scotland. We were living in Leeds at the time. Actually I moved to London in 1982. But that's still about 40 years now. Actually, it was Daddy Janki's invitation to come for 6 weeks, and the 6 weeks has not ended yet. So be careful of those invitations. So yes, it's very lovely to be here, and I'm sure like all of you, I just feel it's such a gift and almost a dream to be here after 2 long years, right? That seemed very long. And yet, no time at all. That's the nature of the drama. And so when there was the possibility, I said, yes, I'm going to go. So here we are. And the whole theme of the season now about our subtle and secret relationship with the Supreme, with Baba, it's so timely, it's so beautiful. And for the class today, it's about one Baba and none other. And I was thinking, first of all, that we have all made that choice of one Baba and none other, which is why we're sitting here, right? All along the way in your BK life, from the time you heard about Baba's Gyan, you made choices, we all made choices. Am I going to go with what my, you know, family say, or am I going to choose Baba? Am I going to go with what the world says or society says? I'm going to choose Baba. And so we've all made those choices that it's Baba and none other, and that's why we are here. And it's such a profound choice, because when you look at what's happening now, and things are heating up, right, don't they? We said that we would do Dipasya for, have the 3-day bhati for perhaps a new service plan, but I think we've sparked off the drama moving in a certain direction. Who knows? But it's so important now, one Baba and none other. And I think that as we go further, already people see that in us, but people can see the power of that when there's confusion or there's, in particular, fear. One Baba and none other helps me to be fearless. And I was thinking about, all the different aspects that really focus us only on Baba. And I think the very first thing is purity. And there was some really, it's a few weeks back now, where Baba said that purity is the most, I forget the exact wording, but the most powerful quality, the quality that transforms everything. And we know as Brahmins, without purity, you can't go any further. Purity is the foundation. And of course, it's purity on the subtle level, the gross level we understand. But when I can look at my own sort of progress or journey, if you like, I can see that purity has developed in a way that I'm able to, and I'm sure you also share this, become less and less influenced by the things around me, or perhaps by my own samskaras, or perhaps by my own desires. And Baba mentioned in the Avyat Murali, Sunday's Murali, about the divine intellect and spiritual drishti, spiritual vision. So more and more as we use that divine intellect, our purity increases, and we can begin to see very clearly what are the influences and what is truth and what is it that Baba is giving me. And we need to refine this so much. And I think also an aspect of purity is when your ego bothers you less and less. I can't say I'm free from ego. Anybody here free from ego? Own up. Tell me how. We're all work in progress. But I remember a scene when a few of us, we were at the retreat centre, Global Retreat Centre, near Oxford, and I have to say it's looking so beautiful, but not yet finished, not yet completed. And Daddy Gulzar was there, and we were in the classroom with her, and we asked Daddy, how did you conquer your ego? And she was sort of puzzled by the question. It was like she didn't really know what ego was. And I just thought, well, what fortune, from a child. She was brought up in the yajna, so, and you see, we know her nature was so introverted, so innocent, so, so pure. And her own ego really didn't interfere. And when you look at, when we get influenced, the influence may come from outside, but it's our ego that gets attracted in some way. And so then we fall prey to the influence. And I know I've repeated this phrase often, but a phrase Daddy Janki said, that always make sure that you're using gyan on yourself, otherwise your old samskaras will use you. True, right? Again, the choice. And so that purity where, and I see for all of us, especially through these 2 years, with all the COVID and the changes we've all been through, and it's like, I don't know about you, and also other things that have happened to me personally, it's like priorities have shifted. Anybody else found that? I think so. Priorities have shifted. And it's like the small things are not so important as they used to be. And you're more thinking in an unlimited way, thinking in a broader way, and really wanting to give importance to what is going to create and maintain that purity of the atmosphere, the love in the atmosphere, the harmony and cooperation in the atmosphere. So purity has a lot to do with, you know, really understanding, you know, I can say it has to do with getting rid of ego, but you don't get rid of ego just like that. But the bridge is discerning what that ego really is. And sometimes it's a shock, you know? I'm sure you've all been through that. A situation happens, somebody says something, somebody tells you something to your face, and then you realize, oh my goodness, what I did was because of ego. And then, okay, Baba, I have to be humble, I have to be humble. So you talk to Baba. So it really is a journey. So purity is absolutely, I really, really feel strongly, is the foundation. And then the other thing Baba talked about this morning, and it was in the point, and it comes up often when we think of one Baba and none other, this whole thing of disinterest. And Baba positioning it as disinterest in the body and things to do with the body. You know, the body has its own big household, right, of all the identities and the responsibilities and everything else. And I know Jyotishpa used to like to translate this word virag as dispassionate. Oh, sorry, I'll just take some water. As dispassionate. So it's like not coming into feelings about things. I'm not there yet. The other night, Didi Nirmala asked a group of us, who never cries? I said, I can cry. not as much as before, that's for sure, but... So I don't think, you know, well, I can only speak for myself, getting to that point where your feelings, or when you say feelings, of course, pure feelings, are very powerful and very uplifting and can really help and sustain others through the atmosphere that creates. But not falling prey to those negative feelings or fearful feelings, whatever it is, because of whatever challenge there is in front of me. And so, you know, can I get to that point? I'm always giving class to myself, not to you, okay? Can I get to that point where really feelings don't arise when situations arise? Now, Baba would talk in the Muralis, as you know, of the flu of feelings. So this word, this virag, this disinterest or dispassion, it's not about, you know, separating myself from anything, but generating such pure feelings that other feelings are not so important or not as meaningful or actually meaningless. And again, choices, discernment, you see where your pure feelings take you and they take you close to Baba. And then you see where the other feelings take you. And then you have to use up your yoga power in dealing with them. And when I'd asked Daddy about this years ago, Daddy Janki, about the difference between accumulating yoga power, using yoga power, and spending yoga power, all she answered was, she said, well, whenever a situation comes in front of you, it should not interfere with your accumulation of yoga power from Baba. So, okay. So it's not really a question of spending. Because I said to her, sometimes I feel I'm spending yoga power. I may have got a certain point and then something happens and, you know, I've got to deal with it. But actually, if you feel you're spending yoga power, you're really spending your own power. If it's yoga power, you won't have a feeling of being depleted. Because as you deal with something, there'll be a constant accumulation. And I saw this, we all saw this in the daddies, and closely I saw Daddy Janki. She never stopped accumulating yoga power. Really, really she didn't. And she never stopped generating, pushing it out into the atmosphere. This was her big service. And it's also interesting that the messages we got when Daddy left the body, and it's just, you know, to think that it was the beginning of lockdown and Daddy flew away and we couldn't fly to Bharat, and what a drama, what a drama. Just what she wanted, simplicity. But, you know, I've lost my thread now. Anyway, never mind. But she never stopped accumulating that yoga power, no matter what happened. Oh yes, what I was going to say. Baba's messages at that time were that she has gone especially to serve the elements. And this is something she did focus on. You probably know that the elements went into upheaval just before she left. You all know about that? No? That night, so it was March, end of the month, end of March 27th. So it's hot. We're hot now, aren't we? And where are we now? The 22nd? 23rd? And, but that night there was unseasonable storms. There was a storm, there was some rain, there was wind. Very unseasonable. And very odd. And then after she left, it quietened down. And they do say that when a great soul leaves, then the elements cleanse the way. Very interesting. And Daddy was a master, such a master. And so her special role. But she understood that the elements too need the purity of that yoga power to be served. And she could only do that because really she had one Baba and none other. I mean, it was just complete. And I think the other aspect, love, and we can say having love for Baba, but there's this word Magan, being lost in love. Not just ordinary love. Baba talked yesterday, right, about lover and beloved. But that stage of being lost in love where really nothing else matters at all. And that love is sustaining you and really giving you everything that you need. And, you know, you can ask the self, where do I go for sustenance? Something happens, do I go to a Lokic person for help? I don't think so. Do I go to, you know, yes, we may go to seniors, certainly. But ultimately, it's really Baba's love that can heal us so deeply. And when I think about Baba's love, sometimes, actually, I don't really separate it from, don't really separate it so much from the love of the family. Because both go together. Because if you really have that deep love for Baba, that loving presence that is with you, Baba, your own stage, it also draws the family's love, and you also feel a lot of love for the family. So if you're lost in love of Baba, and then you say, oh, the family, let me just, you know, sit somewhere else, something's wrong. Something's not right. The two absolutely go together. And, of course, when it's really pure, deep love, then the love of the family helps you to come closer. You help those around you to come closer to Baba. And Baba's love helps to draw everyone close. So the two are important. Baba never said, go sit off on the mountaintop and forget everybody. Baba really has embedded us in a family system. So that deep love for Baba and love for the family. Think about Dadiji and how she, her loving nature was just incredible. And I remember her saying once, if there's any problem, where do people go? Who do they think of? Madhuban, Madhuban. Like she was so sure that Baba Madhuban, what would the daddy say? Baba Madhuban Murli. So they didn't say just incorporeal, but Baba Madhuban Murli, the three. So this deep love generates a powerful loving atmosphere and a powerful loving family. But it's not a love of dependency, because ultimately it's Baba's love, and there will come a time when it really is just me and Baba. And we were talking in a group in London about supports and how, you know, at the moment we still have many supports, and even through lockdown, you know, we had all the Zoom and, you know, webcasts, and so nobody felt that separate. They were able to tune in to the Murlis and, you know, whatever was happening. And I don't know about all of you, but we'd always said we wanted to do more online. Well, come 23rd of March, we kind of were propelled into doing everything online. I see Margaret there, you're all part of that, and others who are there. So it's like, you know, we suddenly had to do it. And when you suddenly have to do something, you do it, don't you? But imagine there will come a time when that will not be available. So then really, one Baba and none other. And it was good just to talk about it, just to be aware of the possibility, so that all the time there's a preparation. Because Baba has explained to us what's going to come. Not in huge detail, but in general. So love, that lost in love, so important. And of course faith, and with faith is courage. And again, just that fortune to have seen the daddies and everything they put on Baba, everything they put on Baba. And Daddy Janki would say, okay, a challenge comes to you, the first thing you do, take power from Baba. So not think about it, no, take power from Baba, then you can begin to think about it. And I remember a scene when Dadiji was had not been well. It's, I think, only a couple of times I travelled with Dadiji, and this was, we went to Benares, and we were staying separately because the centre was very small, group of us. And we get to the centre in the morning and she's had like a semi-heart attack, you know. And she's saying to me, am I okay? I said, Daddy, you're very okay. And, you know, they were wanting her to spend the night in the hospital, and no, she wouldn't. She was insisting on meeting the teacher. She says, Baba, Baba, Baba. Like, and I've seen this in Daddy Janki, no fear. Where there's real purity, there's no fear. That's one thing. And when there's real love, there's no fear. And when there's real faith, there's no fear. Real fearlessness. And the daddies had that. They did not think about themselves and the consequences. They just launched into everything. Because they put it on Baba. Faith in Baba. And I think, you know, it was interesting for me personally, you know, lockdown, it was, I know every country had different scenarios, but in the UK, or at least England, we had, I think it was so March to June, March, April, May, June, so 3 months really, solid lockdown, when nobody could come to the centre. And there were 13 of us staying in Baba's big houses. Those of you who've been to London, Global House and Diamond House. And so we were doing everything. Of course, there was all the webcasts going on. And then there were all the bhogs being offered for Daddy. And every day we offered bhog for Daddy Janki. That we had to do the cooking and the cleaning and the this and the that. And it's just, you know, everything. And maintain a good, powerful atmosphere. In fact, that was the number one priority. Because if there was a good, powerful atmosphere and unity and harmony amongst the 13 of us staying there, then we knew that everybody else could benefit. And during that time, I really had that experience of Baba's presence very powerfully, because we were all there, and our seniors were like, you know, 4,000 miles away in India. And of course, we were in phone contact and everything, but still, it's like day to day, I really felt Baba showed me what to do at every step. It was really an experience. It's like I just knew what to do. Next thing, next thing, next thing. And then, of course, we were discussing everything together, but there was like a clarity, and I knew that this is really Baba working, really Baba helping, really Baba supporting. Because one Baba, none other. And so that really strengthened that connection for me even more. So it was very powerful. And then it was a beautiful scene. I can't forget it. On the 18th of June 2020, we were then allowed as a place of worship, where we're categorized, to open up for individual prayer. That meant people could come to Baba's room. We couldn't have the classes, but they could come. Oh, when we opened those doors, people danced and skipped in. They were so happy to come to Baba's house. And then about a month later, we could start classes. So we've been very lucky in the UK, because they allowed religious and spiritual communities to function, knowing that it was giving solace to people. But it was really quite an experience. And later on, other things that have happened, I've just seen how much, there are three things that I've been working with over the past few months, because I had a particular accident and whatever, won't go into the detail, many of you know anyway, and I felt Baba carried me through that. And I was able to move through it and experience, you know that story of footsteps, when there are two lots of footsteps and then there's only one set of footsteps in the sand. So it is really that experience. But I know it was because I totally accepted the drama. No question. Really no question. Not for a moment. And I was thinking, you know, had time to churn, had time to think. And there were three things, and I think these three things helped me come closer and closer to Baba. Understanding. So really understanding myself, understanding what had led to this, and so on. Understanding, and that also helped me with understanding others. Understanding, because, you know, when we go through things, it makes us look at ourselves in a different way. And second, acceptance. And acceptance was really key. And if you accept what's happening in the drama, and you don't let those questions arise, and I know it was just Baba's help, it was just, okay, this is it. Now I have to move forward. I have to deal with this. So, acceptance, total acceptance. And that made my mind free to really take the power from Baba that I needed. And I could see the contrast of when in other situations it would be, oh, why shouldn't be happening, you know, all those kind of thoughts. And in this, well, I should tell you, you'll all be curious, but I had a bad fracture, so I had to spell in hospital and then get mobile again. So, but and the contrast between, you know, when those other situations have arisen, and then when in this situation I didn't question anything and accepted, and I could see the contrast of how it enabled me to come much closer to Baba and really draw and experience Baba's help hugely. And that also gives you a lot of courage. Courage and faith go together. And so whatever comes to you, you can use it. You can really use it. So understanding, acceptance, and then the third, compassion. And compassion for me in this context was, okay, compassion means, what is it that I have to do now? And what is it that I have to do to make the situation better as soon as possible in the best way? And okay, I was relating it to something that happened physically, but of course, you can relate that, and I have related it to many other situations where, you know, well, all sorts of situations happen, and then I have to remind myself, if I want to stay close to Baba and I want Baba's power to work, let me remember these three things that are so beautiful. Have understanding, because really you don't know what another person's been through to bring them to the point where they may be, whatever they're doing, negative, or, you know, their sun scars are erupting. Ever seen sun scars erupt? Ever had them erupt? So, understanding. And, you know, there's a lot of work now on trauma and how we have hidden traumas anyway. I'm not an expert on that. But, you know, we have things inside that make us erupt in different ways. And so we have to understand ourselves and be kind to ourselves. And I always say to myself and to others, you know, something goes wrong, okay? And then your first instinct is to blame yourself, or to, excuse me, or to feel bad about it. But I always say to myself, I say to others, no, at that moment, that very moment, is the moment to be kind to yourself. Otherwise, you can't draw Baba's love. You'll be caught up in your own negativity, and Baba will be trying to give you, but it won't be one Baba and none other. It will be everybody else and no Baba. So that's the moment to be kind to the self. And then, okay, that understanding and acceptance, and then move on. Because, you know, what do we want from anyone? We don't want to blame, or we don't want revenge, or we don't want these things. These are not in our Brahmin dictionary. We don't want to, you know, show somebody up, you know, humiliate them by telling them off in front of other people or making a comment, or we don't want to do that. We want everybody to grow and to progress and to move. And so we have to have that kindness, that understanding, and that acceptance and that compassion to say, okay, Baba, what's the best thing now for this soul? Doesn't matter that I have to prove I'm right. It's okay. That's not important. But what is important is for them to progress, and for me to progress, and for us to move forward together. So, you know, this is where we're always keeping these, you could say, higher values, but that spiritual drishti, that broader vision in mind, is just so important and so needed at this time. It is not the time to be limited. It's the time to be unlimited. Really important. And There was a very sweet little clip that came around on the WhatsApp group I'm on. And it was of Baba talking, Aviat Baba talking to the RCs, excuse me. And Baba talking, this was 2007, I think. And Baba talking to them about the balance of self and service, and excuse me, and how people need to feel that you are like, you know, like you have places that people come to. So your personality should be so attractive that people are attracted. And I think this is something we've just all got to learn more and more of. I have to. I know that, you know, having that accident kind of slowed me down is really good for me, because if you slowed down physically, your mind has to slow down. Otherwise, got to get this done, got to get that done. Actually, you don't. Why didn't I discover that before, that you don't really need to rush about things? And I hope not to get back into that samskara. Baba talks to us, you know, when we want to really serve the self, and we've talked about, you know, purity and everything, but even the foundation of that, how can I get to that level of purity? It's the practice of the bodiless stage that will then help us to get to that level of purity. Because in the stage of being really, pardon me, bodiless, free from, you know, what does it mean to be bodiless? To be really free from any pull anywhere. Nothing interfering in my relationship and connection with Baba. And I'm not even identifying with the body, the world, my role, or anything. In fact, I think there used to be a time when people used to ask, what's my role? You don't hear it now, and that's good. Because your role is whatever comes in front of you and whatever you do, right? You watch the drama. You know, the drama is such a backbone. Drama, drama, drama. Do you ever find yourself saying that at times? Drama, drama, drama. It's very helpful. But that experience of being bodiless, it helps to keep our mind free, and we need to build on that. We need to keep building on it. And I know I need to build on it more myself, personally. And when I think about the relationship with Baba, can I say I remember Baba's remembrance? Either it's really that bodiless stage of being beyond, being free and being absorbed with Baba, or it's being here and being present with Baba, or Baba being present with me. And of course, Tadi Gulzar would talk about the combined form a lot. But I think that's it now. It's not that, oh, let me sit and remember Baba, but let there be that stage where when I want to, I can be bodiless, I can be free, and when I'm here doing what I need to do, and we're all active instruments, and there's always plenty in front of us, is Baba present with me? Am I with Baba? And I love that feeling. It's like having a silent, sweet companion. And, it is having a silent, sweet companion. And I remember one year meeting Baba, and there were a few of us in front of Baba, and Baba said, this Om Shanti Bhavan days, and Baba said, oh, Baba sees you in your offices, and you don't have time to remember Baba. You don't even remember Baba for 5 minutes. And then Baba smiled and Baba said, but never mind, Baba beta hai. In other words, Baba's sitting there. And it was such a beautiful feeling that you may not have time and you're all busy in what you're doing, but I'm just there and I'm taking care. It wasn't like, oh, you know, you're not remembering me. It was, it's okay, I'm there anyway. And I remember going back to London and really feeling that feeling, you know, Baba's there, it's okay. And of course, Baba, the cleverest teacher, because this was Baba's method of helping us to remember him, right? So when you go back and you're thinking of that, you're then remembering Baba and you're drawing Baba's presence to you. And, you know, we all remember Baba in different ways, or as I say, have that relationship in different ways, different relationships. And of course, sometimes Baba speaks about all the different relationships. But it really means if I am in relationship with Baba, this is my place where I'm being sustained. Nobody else can sustain me in the way Baba sustains me. And so, you know, it's like internally, in that introverted state, we need to know, we need to keep that state of one Baba and none other alive, very alive. There'll be many tests that will come, and the tests, Baba hasn't said to us the tests will decrease. Sometimes Baba says, the more powerful you are, the more powerfully Maya will come. Then, on the other hand, Baba says that the more you become powerful, Maya will stay away at a distance. And I was thinking about that because it can seem to contradict, right? And then I thought about it and I thought, well, actually, the more powerful we become, the more we draw from Baba, Maya then comes in a more subtle way. You won't get the big gross things of Maya, you know, we understand. But there'll be the subtle deceptions. Baba talked about deception the other day. Baba talked about honesty. Today's Murali. Honesty is a key, absolutely a key. Being honest with the self, honest with Baba, honest with our instruments. You know, don't let anything fester inside. Really, it's so important. And I know that's helped me so much, so much. That I have been able to unburden myself anything that's on my mind. Yes, of course, when we were young, we were little babies, every little thing, daddy this, daddy that. Not now. Okay, a lot of things you can just deal with, but if something keeps coming and coming and coming and isn't leaving you, important to share it, important to unburden yourself so that you can then be relieved and be free. And often all you need to do is talk about it. That's all. And all the other person needs to do, the instrument, listen. Right? You've experienced that both ways, I'm sure. Sometimes people come to you, you just listen with love. Okay. Then they understand what to do. You don't have to say anything. And then sometimes you're the one who has to unburden yourself, and then somebody just listens to you with love, valuing you for who you are, and then you say, okay, all right, I know that I can be kind to myself again and let go. So honesty, very, very important. But we need to keep, you know, I like the thing that it says, subtle and secret life with Baba. It is a secret, isn't it, you know? You don't know what my little relationship with Baba's like. I don't know yours. It's like my own personal secret, and it really belongs to me. And so beautiful that we have that opportunity. I thought I'd just spend, if there's any questions or comments, a little bit of time we have. Is there a mic, another mic or something, or I have to repeat the questions? No? Okay, otherwise if you come forward then I can repeat the question. Oh, okay. All right, I see what you mean. Okay, so I said this thing that Baba says sometimes in the Murali, that when Maya's more powerful, when you're more powerful, Maya comes to you. When you're more powerful, Maya will stay away from a distance. So the first part, well, I meant it both together really, but the first part in a sense that Maya comes in a more subtle way, so that's Maya coming. And it's the gross forms of Maya that will stay away, right? And the more subtle we become, and the deeper our relationship becomes, because our divine intellect is so sharp, in our consciousness, we just don't go there at all. You know, Maya comes if you invite her somehow, right? If someone's in their karmatit stage, then Maya can't come because there's no connection for them to come, right? And if I still have some sanskaras, which we all have, I'm sure, that are still not purified, it's those sanskaras and the subtle energy or vibration of those sanskaras in me when they arise that will attract Maya to me. So that's like giving an invitation to Maya. And so you see that, you know, in a way, as you progress, Maya changes. Now, it's not really that Maya changes, you change. But do you see the dynamic? Yeah.
Baba says that we have to make a note in our handkerchief to not forget him or to remember him. Do you have, what type of your note you have?
What kind of knot do I have in my handkerchief? Very interesting question. I suppose my knot is talking to myself. I don't think I have one thing, in a way. But I always... it's like a feeling inside that always I have this faith that ultimately Baba's going to take care and everything will be all right. Maybe that's my knot. I don't know. Maybe. So I know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. And that faith or that feeling enables me. Thank you for the question. It's a good question. Anybody else want to share their knots in their handkerchiefs? What's yours, Michelle? Tell us. Okay, as much yoga as possible.
In between each action, stop and have some yoga.
Okay, in between each action, stop and have some yoga. And what about being a karma yogi? You try, I know. You're very good, I know. I'm teasing you.
Thank you for your sharing, Maureen. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in Maraban and what we're used to. The aspect of connection is such a driver. It's such a motivation, and I was just reflecting on this and it occurred to me that whenever we're carrying a mobile phone there's always a little anticipation that there's an opportunity for connection, which is a subtle distraction. Or when we're now here in Maraban, there's also our antenna are out thinking, oh, you know, who might be there? Who I will see? Just your experience in terms of, I know with the daddies, when the seniors, it doesn't seem that there's any room for that kind of distraction.
They're very focused.
Would you call that a subtle desire that we still have an antenna out, that there might be an opportunity to connect? Your thoughts?
That's a very good comment, a very good question. And I know sometimes I get too involved in my mobile phone, I have to be honest. But yes, it means there's something unfulfilled, that I'm looking for some fulfillment in that, you know, in the news, and I do look at the news, and then it's okay to look at the news once a day, but... You know, sometimes I look a bit more than that. And so there is that interest, so disinterest still to be worked on. But yes, it just means I'm not ready for that total. But, you know, it will also come at the right time too, you know. Often, I just see that things fall away at the right time. Now, in a way, that's not the best, I suppose, because Baba says, be the masters of time, so do things before time. But otherwise, things happen and things change, things shift. But yes, thank you for that. Yes. And, you know, connecting with people, sometimes there's a responsibility and you need to connect with someone, and that's okay. And here it's only really in Madhavan that you have that central place in Pandavavan, I should say, because I think we all used to have that, those who were there those days. If you needed to meet someone, you'd sit in the courtyard and just wait, and they'd definitely appear. But, yeah, thank you.
Om Shanti. Thank you so much, sister, for your wonderful sharing. We have two questions from Sister Phuc in our group from Vietnam. The first question is, could you please clarify how we can serve ourselves in order to be more powerful and to make better progress, very fast progress? The first question. The second one, how to have a good balance of serving ourselves, oneself, and others. Other kinds of services.
What's the last thing?
The balance of serving
self and others.
And others. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the two questions are very much connected, aren't they? It's so important. Daddy Janki, you know, had made this statistic. One day in the class, she said, "It's 99% self-service and 1% service." Then a day later he said, "No, I have to revise the statistic, 100% self-service." And, you know, it's like she understood that secret. I can't say "and they" at this point, but she understood that secret, that if you really serve yourself thoroughly and you have that powerful stage, everything else will happen naturally. It's not that you will have to make it happen. And yes, Daddy would always have lots of ideas and plans, and, you know, she had to be very patient because we couldn't keep up with her plans. Finally, in 1997, we had an event at the Albert Hall, which is a very famous hall in London, and it holds about 5,000 people, and we had over 4,000, which was massive for us at that point. And then she said to us, "Since I came to London, I've been waiting to do this." So she had to wait until we were ready. So I think that's a big thing. If I have faith in that if I keep, and I know, again, talking to myself, I haven't yet achieved that totally, but if I have faith in that and I know that by creating a good stage, and I do see it, you know, as in my own experience, if I keep my stage calm and with Baba and yogyukt and, you know, not getting distracted or, you know, affected by things, just okay, it's okay. I just see how everything works out. It's amazing. But the minute I get into upheaval about something, I then really have to spend a lot of energy dealing with a difficult situation. So much depends on your stage. And so, yes, to spend that time early morning, times in between, whatever time you can. But it's not that you, in a sense, take special time. Well, we do, but it's more that attention is always there with you. It's there. You know, like Michelle's saying, "Well, I do action and I go to Baba." You can do that because that attention is naturally with you. You don't have to suddenly think, oh yes, okay, I finished an action. Oh, I should remember Baba. It's not like that. It happens naturally, right? Because that presence, Baba's presence, is with you. You haven't lost it in your action. So serving the self is very much about that. And then seeing, you know, always saying to the self, you know, every situation is for us to learn. And what do I have to learn? And, you know, how is this situation moving me forward? And the very painful situations give us a lot of learning, unfortunately. And I always feel that when I've come up against a difficulty, if I have that thought, what do I have to learn? I'm able to deal with it. That question helps me a lot. Generally, the first thing is I have to learn more humility. And then there are often other things to learn about influence, about discernment, whatever it is. But you realize that you hadn't been yoked in that situation, and there were sort of other factors that came in, and okay, something to learn, something to understand. And that makes it pleasurable, actually, that, okay, I can move forward, you know. I'm not stagnant. It's important not to be stagnant in our Brahmin life, really. Always moving forward. Time for meditation, I guess. Okay, let's be with one Baba and none other, and enjoy.